Hello, everybody. Welcome to a check-in with the Bookening. It's been a little bit since we did an episode, but we've got another one coming, and various life things have bumped it a little bit, but it's still coming, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're talking Proust, which he wrote what a lot of people say is the great novel. I was going to say the great American novel, but obviously it's not the great American novel. I think we can definitively say that In Search of Lost Time is not the great American novel, but
I think so, yeah.
He wrote the great novel of the 20th century, perhaps, the great, certainly the precursor for all the weird modernist stuff that happened. And it's much more accessible than, let's say, Joyce's Ulysses or something like that, as far as these sorts of insurmountable obstacle snob things go. I'm not going
to
say
it. But it does want you to slow down.
It does, which is...
And take your time with it.
Right, right. And we're not even committing to do all 3,000 pages. We're just doing the first chunk, the first volume, Swan's Way. But I think we were going to do it 2 weeks ago, and it was just like, yeah, we could try and rush through this one. The guys could download the audio book and try and listen to it on 3x speed. But that's just, you might as well not do Proust if you're going to do Proust that way. Like, if maybe some of our listeners will be like, just don't do Proust. Just do more Harry Potter or Narnia. But sounded like Alan Arkin there a little bit. But if you're going to do Proust, you might as well actually do Proust. So,
yep,
coming. It'll be out in a couple of weeks. Would you, if like our patrons have received this book and they're like, I don't know if I want to read Proust, would you guys say they should or shouldn't? Or
I've loved it. And it is just one of those books that as you read it, man, I've spent so much, not to spoil the what we're going to say, but I've spent so much time. But part of what really good literature does is it just makes you think. Right. And so in terms of... like I've had so many childhood memories. I've had so many Proustian moments reading Proust, mm-hmm. where I've just thought and rethought and recontextualized certain aspects of my childhood. It's been really fun and really sweet and really kind of melancholy at times because of how much it forces you to just reckon with change and everything disappearing and how much or how little we carry and pass on of what's come before us. We have our lives and they're over soon and we take things to our graves that will be forgotten forever except by God. And you know, if you're the kind of person who gets high on existential vibes like that and also just like, man, tapping into some of those really elemental childhood feelings of mom and loneliness and shadows and darkness and magical places that were just ordinary places but felt magical, mm-hmm. all that sort of thing.
I mean, it's like the first 50 pages or 100 pages that's just him laying in bed plotting to get his mother to come and give him another goodnight kiss or something like
another
that.
Another hug.
Right.
Yeah, another kiss.
Yeah.
In every, it's so, it's like very specific to him, but it's such a universal feeling of longing for the nearness and affection of your mother and the pain of it. And so this is so much like that, that he does such a good job with that. It's really worth, like, there have been books that we have read that have wanted to be read more slowly. And we've just said, well, we've got a job to do, so we have to get it done. And this is just one of those books where it's like, okay, we've got a job to do, but so what? We're reading Proust. And so let's read Proust the way Proust should be read.
That is our job.
And
darn it.
Yeah, well, I think that it's been good for us to give ourselves the permission on this one to take the time that it takes.
Yeah.
And I think it'll pay off in our discussion too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not to spoil my take, but yeah, well, maybe I should save this, but the book that it actually weirdly reminds me of quite a bit is Augustine's Confessions. I mean, it's completely pagan, but just in terms of a guy being like, I am going to take a magnifying glass to my own soul, to my own train of thoughts, to the berries that I picked when I was 4 years old or whatever, and I am just going to treat all of it with the importance of the universe hanging in the balance. And not many people are good enough writers to pull that kind of thing off. But Augustine and Proust are both pretty good at it.
Yeah, I actually think it's such a worthwhile endeavor because the universe does hang in the balance in those moments. Your universe does. And so much of our lives are shaped by these really simple elemental moments of childhood. And then we get set or twisted or confirmed or whatever. It goes to shape who we are and how we relate to people and our relationships and everything downstream. And so it is the universe. And it's sort of like that thing. What's the Dunn poem? Don't ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for you. You know, I said in a sermon not long ago, mothers and fathers and grandparents die every day. But when your dad dies, it will be the first time in the history of the world and the only time that your dad died. And you'll experience it that way. And it's not narcissistic to think that way about it. It's part of the tragedy and awfulness of sin and the way that we deal with these things. And so every kid goes through these sorts of things, but so it's universal and common, but for each kid, every first is still the first in the history of the world, just like every last is every last in the history of the world. And so it is. The universe does hang in the balance. It is a big thing. And treating it that way is really cool and really important, I think. Not that we sort of like sentimentalize childhood or turn it into something it's not, but that we recognize all these things that form us and shape us and that form and shape our own kids. Things that we can tend to, even though we can remember or forget how big it was for us, and we downplay it for our own kids because it's common and we've been through it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful book and very dense with ideas and reflections. And just, I mean, some of what Proust does is he's thinking about the nature of like consciousness and memory and dream and perception and personality and people. But I don't know. It's also like it has a weird effect of feeling as he goes into all this extreme detail about moments of his childhood, feeling like you're witnessing some alien world. So it has an effect of making you both, like Jake said, remember your own childhood and how little things were like giant things to you. And you might go back into your own memory or consciousness and access them as giant things. But then also they're weird.
Yeah. Who are these decadent French?
Who are these people? Like, what is this alien world? Like, why do they talk and act this way? And then I think you can kind of actually turn and do that to your own experience. Like, man, life is weird. Like, my life has been weird. I've met some weird people. I'm weird. I've had some strange experiences. And it is strange to think that we all have worlds inside us. Like Walt Whitman said, I contain multitudes. And that you realize following Proust that you could, although not having the literary skill or perhaps as good a memory as Proust, you could do the same thing he does. You have the same sort of immersive worlds inside of you that he was carrying around in his 30s or whenever he wrote these books.
So it's not every author that actually changes your perception. I mean, I think some of the greatest, even like Jane Austen, you read a Jane Austen novel and suddenly you go to church the next Sunday and you're like, well, this person is this stereotype and this person is this stereotype and I don't like this person because of this and I do like this. But you're suddenly judging people through her moral categories. She's given you that for better or worse, usually for better. And Proust is the same way in that you are suddenly looking at your life, borrowing something from his way of looking at his life. And I think the truly greats, the people whose books we love to just live in, a Tolstoy or something like that, are that way. And then most authors aren't. Most authors aren't actually lending you an entire pair of spectacles that you can then look at the world through for the rest of your life.
Yeah, at the very best, they have a poetic turn of phrase that makes you look at something differently. For the first time, right?
Yeah.
At the best, but this is a lens, a filter for your life.
Yeah, definitely. And as we said before to each other a couple of times, hey, this reminds me of Gene Wolfe, modern sci-fi author who died a few years ago, who is definitely downstream of Proust. And I would say it's a similar effect for me of Gene Wolfe, who's a weird and also very decadent sort of author, although nominally a Christian, maybe a real Christian, I don't know. He, in a similar way as Proust, sort of with his own twist or tweak, and I'm not saying Wolfe is the same level of literary genius as Proust or something, but he gave me a different perspective on the world this way. But it's anyway, that guy's not doing the same thing as Proust, but he's downstream of Proust. He's borrowing some of that. Here's my perception. Here's how alien and strange the world can look. Here's what it's like to really be in someone else's shoes in a completely different culture or context in a way that you never considered before. It's outside of your experience. And also, you can turn the lens back on your own life and think of the people around you and stuff in a way that you didn't before.
Yeah, I mean, I've constantly thought about sci-fi authors as we've read through this and fantasy authors because I'm just like the best of them. Even like a Tolkien. It's like Tolkien recontextualizes trees and skies and things for you such that they have magic again. And Proust is doing a similar thing with childhood, with cookies and tea, with mommy.
Flowers.
With flowers.
Lots of flowers.
With little desserts that you have as a kid that you forgot about.
Right. And certainly in later volumes with sex and sexuality and young love and all that stuff. So you got to be careful with Proust and homosexuality also. But so it's this isn't the unequivocal recommendation. But gosh, we started talking about it and we can't. I guess this is just a nice little appetizer for the episode that you'll get. And maybe an advertisement to actually give it a shot if you read the first of his 9,000 word labyrinth sentences and just got turned off. Maybe follow those sentences through a couple of their sinews and see if you can get somewhere because he's good. Okay. Goodbye, listeners. We'll be back with Swan's Way.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.